If you have your Bible with you, I would encourage you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34 will be our text for this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34 if you will, among our friends for uttering the phrase, "What in the world?" For example, when there was something that he just didn't understand, like he's walking through a mall and he sees someone dressed and he's thinking to himself, why would they wear something like that out in public? He would look and he would say, "What in the world?" When he was frustrated about something, so maybe when he lost cell phone reception or something, he would say, "What in the world?" And now if he was an AT&T customer, he was dropping a lot of "what in the worlds," right? Now I see we have a lot of AT&T customers here tonight. If he thought that something was simply ridiculous, he would say, "What in the world?" Like if I would tell a bad joke, which I do from time to time, I would throw the punchline and he'd be like, what in the world? I mention that because tonight, some of you might be sitting there thinking, what in the world? You're looking at your order of service and you see all of the things that we're going to be doing after the sermon. And you see that there are a couple of things that look like they're related to the Lord's Supper as we think of it. And you're thinking, what in the world? What is this about? What are we doing? The deacons who are helping serve tonight, they're really asking, what in the world? What's this guy doing to us? Maybe you're thinking, what are we doing here? Because you're not familiar with the Lord's Supper. Or maybe you're too familiar with the Lord's Supper, and it has just become a regular thing that we do every so often. And you'll notice, of course, that we are going to be doing things a little bit differently as we celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight. So what I want to do during this sermon time, so to speak, is set the stage, prepare us for what we will be doing as we read Scripture together, as we sing a couple of extra hymns, as we observe the elements. And my desire is that as we look at Scripture and connect that with what we will be doing, that it will help. It will help us individually, and that it will help us collectively to really and truly celebrate together what the Lord has done for His people. Let's read 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 through 34. "But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What," or maybe Paul would say if he was here tonight, "what in the world? What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. In verse 27, Paul tells us, he warns us against eating the bread and drinking the cup in an unworthy manner. That is a suggestion that it is valuable for us to take some time and think about what it is that we do when we eat the bread, when we drink the cup. And it's valuable for us to think about all of the things that we will be doing as we celebrate together what the Lord has done for us. The Lord's Supper is, as he says in verse 26, a proclamation of the Lord's death until he comes. Why did Christ have to die? Why is it that he had to die on the cross? You all know the answer, right? It's because of our sin. Because we are separated from God, because we have rebelled against our Creator, because of our sin, it was necessary for Christ to die. So the first thing that we ought to do whenever we come to the celebration of Christ's death on our behalf is we ought to recognize the fact that we are sinners. We ought to recognize the fact that it was our sin that held him there, as we sang about this morning. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus clearly acknowledged that the shedding of his blood on the cross was for the forgiveness of sins. If we were not sinners, there would be no forgiveness necessary. There would be no death of a substitute, of a sacrifice necessary. But we are sinners. And even though we have been freed from sin, if we are in Christ, we still carry around in our body the weight of sin, the weight of living in a sinful world. And day after day after day, we fall short of the glory of God. We fail to follow the Lord faithfully. And so it is appropriate for us to begin our time of celebrating the Lord's Supper to remember, to admit, to confess the fact that we are sinners, that we do sin. So the first component there in your order of service, the scripture reading, or the first component after the sermon, that scripture reading will be a responsive reading. It will be a confession, an opportunity for us to express individually and together that, yes, we are sinners in need of a Savior. And I would encourage you, don't let the reading of this scripture just be the reading of words on a page. As we read these confessions taken from Scripture, let them be a personal prayer, a personal confession of your own sin to the Lord. Secondly, after confessing our sin, we should reflect on the cross. We should reflect on the cross. Again, in verse 26, Paul says that in the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the Lord's death. How did the Lord die? He died on a cross. The wages of sin is death. It is either our eternal death or the death of our substitute on the cross. As we saw this morning in Isaiah 53, the punishment that was on him has brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. It was the Lord's will to crush him, to put him to death. He has died for us on our cross as our substitute. As we reflect on the cross, there is, or there should be, a mixture of sorrow and of celebration. Sorrow because it was our sin, our rebellion, that put the spotless Lamb of God on the cross. One who did not deserve to die, but died in our place. But because he has died in our place, there is to be celebration. We are to take joy in the fact that he has borne our sin on the cross. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, "Far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is it to boast? Grandparents, you know exactly what it is to boast, right? In your grandchildren. You love to speak of them. You love to be with them. You love to think about them. You love to take out the pictures and show others who your grandchildren are. We are to boast in the cross of Christ. We are to glory in the fact that our Savior has borne our sins. And not simply be sorrowful about that, but take joy in the fact of what He has done for you and for me. So what we will do is we will sing about the cross. We will sing about Christ's sacrifice for us on the cross as a means of celebrating what He has done. Then after we sing together, we will receive the bread. As most, if not all of you know, we believe that it's bread now. It will be bread when you have it in your hands. It will be bread when you put it in your mouth. Eventually it'll get to your stomach and your stomach acids will digest it and it will give some nourishment to your body, I guess. However much nourishment a little wafer like that can give. But it is bread, bread, bread. Right? The taking of the bread is nothing magical or mystical, but it is a picture. It is a picture of the fact that we have received by faith what our Savior has done for us on the cross. John Stott says in his book, The Cross of Christ, just as it was not enough for the bread to be broken and the wine to be poured out, but the disciples had to eat and drink, so it was not enough for Jesus to die, but they had to appropriate the benefits of His death personally. The eating and drinking were and still are a vivid acted parable of receiving Christ as our crucified Savior and of feeding on Him in our hearts by faith. Just as the bread that you eat on a daily basis nourishes your body, so the sacrifice of Christ on the cross ought to nourish our soul, and especially nourish our soul as we take the bread together. As you take the bread, let that time be a time of celebration, a time of celebration that He has borne your sins on the cross. But the cross and the tomb are not the end of the story. So as we move from taking the bread to again reading Scripture, we will move to the resurrection. Because the promise is that in Christ we have new life, precisely because God did not leave Him in the tomb, but on the third day He was raised to life. If you still have your Bibles open, turn to 1 Corinthians 15, just a page or two over. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 19. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If the resurrection did not happen, then we have no hope. But the resurrection did happen. And we should celebrate that as an integral part of what God has done for us in Christ. Because again, it is by the raising of Christ from the dead that it is possible for us to have new life. So our scripture reading will be about the resurrection. It will be a time for us to reflect and to rejoice in the fact that Peter and John and the ladies ran to the tomb, went to the tomb that morning, and Christ was not there. He had been raised. As we read, reflect on the hope that the resurrection brings. Again, do not let it simply be the words on a page that come and go, but let the words nourish your heart and encourage your heart to celebrate the hope of the resurrection. But in the Lord's Supper, we also celebrate Christ's return. And so when we sing, we will again sing about His return. Again, in 1 Corinthians 11:26, Paul says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." This is a reminder that there is coming a day when our Lord will return. Jesus Himself anticipated that return on that very night when He celebrated the Lord's Supper just before His death. Because what did He say to the disciples? He said, "I will not drink of this fruit of the vine again until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." The Lord's Supper is a reminder that He is coming back for His people. That He is coming back to make all things new. And we should not stop at what happened in the past, because Jesus, Paul, and others direct our attention ahead to what is to come. And we should focus our thoughts on what Jesus is going to do when He comes back. Remember what the angel said when Jesus ascended to be with the Father. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw Him go into heaven." So we will sing about His return as we sing at the name of Jesus. Then we will receive the cup. As the bread was bread, 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 so the juice is juice, juice, juice. But again, it is a picture of receiving Christ's sacrifice. Let this time again be a celebration of the fact that Christ is returning and that one day we will drink this cup with Him in the Father's kingdom. As you take the cup, as you hold that cup in your hand, let the words of the Apostle John ring in your mind and in your heart. At the end of Revelation, John writes, "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.'" As you take that cup, let that prayer of John be your prayer. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. And then, after we have observed the cup, we will sing once again as we always do. We will sing a hymn as we go out. And this is in keeping with what Mark records the disciples did. In Mark 14:26, we read, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out." And so we will sing. Specifically, we will sing to encourage one another that as we go, we are to go about the business of proclaiming the good news of hope in Christ. The supper is a proclamation of the good news of the gospel. You proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. That is a reminder that Christ has given us the charge to, as we go, proclaim the hope that is only found in Him. So as we go, we will sing together, encouraging one another to go, declare the good news. We will sing the hymn, "We have heard the joyful sound." That is what we will do as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We will remember our sin. We will reflect, rejoice on the cross. We will receive the bread. We will remember the resurrection. We will look forward to His return. We will take the cup and we will go out proclaiming the good news. As I think it is clear just in the fact of what we will be doing, celebrating what Christ has done on the cross, celebrating His return, this observance is a celebration for those who have placed their faith in Christ. because they are trusting only in those things alone that Christ has done on their behalf to be the only means by which they have right standing before God. So if you are a baptized believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are here with us this evening, whether your membership is here or elsewhere, I encourage you to enjoy the supper with us. If you are trusting in Christ, enjoy the supper with us and celebrate together with us this evening what the Lord has done for you and what the Lord has done for me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this time of actively treasuring Christ, actively treasuring His crucifixion, His resurrection, His coming again, Father, I pray that the attitudes of our hearts, I pray that the words of our lips, I pray that our conduct this evening would be pleasing and glorifying to You. Father, during this time, help us treasure Christ. Help us celebrate Christ. Help us be prepared to go out and proclaim Christ. Father, we ask that You would do these things for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you will grab your hymnal, we will do a responsive reading together. At the back of your hymnal, number 694 will be our responsive reading. 694. As our usual responsive readings, I will read the light print if you will read the dark print. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Against Thee, Thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Would you stand as we sing hymn number 139?
Amazing pity. cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can never repay the debt.
We prepare to observe the bread. Charlie Groff is going to lead us in a prayer for the bread.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come together and fellowship in your name. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather at your table, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you just be with us tonight, Lord, as we take this bread, Lord, a symbol of the flesh of your Son, Lord, that died on the cross at Calvary, Lord, that died to save our sins, Lord, and take away the burden that we would have with that. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
our Lord said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." If you will turn in your hymnal to 685, we will do our second reading about the resurrection. 685. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. Would you stand as we sing hymn number 198? As we prepare to take the cup, Dave Fannin will lead in a prayer for the cup.
Pray with me. Thank you, God, our Father, for the opportunity to come here today and just to celebrate, to God, that you have saved our souls, to God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. For there is nothing in this world that we could do, but you have done it all through him, to God. And we just want to praise you and give the glory for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Our Lord said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As we are dismissed, we'll sing hymn 581, "We Have Heard the Joyful Sound." As is our normal practice, the deacons will be at the back to collect a benevolence offering. If you are prepared to give, they will be there to receive that offering. Will you stand as we sing hymn number 581?
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, spread the tidings. is all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafting on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands to the sea. Echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves. Saves by his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
You're dismissed.